And I speak a little bit of English, but my English will last for about 25 minutes, okay? So if you don't understand me, you just say amen, but I'll tell you, I will not be speaking in tongues, okay? I'll try to speak your language here, the English language, so help me to be a blessing this evening. Now, if you have a Bible, please turn with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the chapter of resurrection. And praise God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, the foundation of our doctrine is firm because of Christ's resurrection. The faith of the believers is not in vain, and the preaching of the pastor and missionary is not in vain because of Christ's resurrection. The forgiveness of our sin is accomplished because of Christ's resurrection. We know that we had been forgiven because of Christ's resurrection, and more than that, the future, the eternal home of the believers are secure because of Christ's resurrection. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning verse 9 down to verse 10. Shall we all stand up, please, as we give honor and reverence to the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning verse 9 down to verse 10. The Bible says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meant to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Our grace, God and Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you because you are still on the throne and control for everything. Thank you so much, Lord, because you are still in the business of saving soul, and you're still in the business of calling some men and young men into the ministry and mission. Thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, that you have been faithful in the past, in the present, and even in the potential future. Lord, we pray that you bless us tonight as we study thy word. Thank you so much, Lord, for Pastor Steve Letley. Thank you for his faithfulness in teaching and preaching thy word. Thank you for being a help and be a blessing at Marietta Bible College to educate and to equip all the students that are trying to become a missionary or become a pastor or pastor's wife, and be a blessing to the local churches. And I pray, Lord, that you help us tonight as we study thy word. I pray that you help me to preach like never before. Lord, I pray that you empower me, help me to be an encouragement. Help me, Lord, to preach thy word like never before. And we promise, Lord, that everything that we will be accomplished will give honor and glory only to your name. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be here in this church. And thank you for the leadership of Pastor Steve Letley. Thank you for his family. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Amen. So I feel nervous a little bit. I know Pastor Steve Letley, my son told me that every time he teaches in the college, normally everything is alliterated, okay? So, and my two sons are really enjoying that way of teaching. So praise the Lord for that. So let's talk about the mission is possible by the grace of God. You know, the grace of God defined as the undeserved love and unmerited favor of God, or unmerited favor of God toward the fallen man or sinful man. Since the fall of man, we live in a world filled of sin. And sin always makes people forsake God, and sin always affects the relationship from each other. And you know, the result of sin is sorrow, sickness, stress, and also separation from God. I read a book and it said that the greatest pain in hell is not about the fire in hell. It's not about the thirsty. Or it's not about the gnashing of teeth. They said that the greatest suffering and pain in hell is when you are separated to your God. So if there's one here, if you don't know for sure that heaven will be your home, I pray for you tonight and I beg for you that you may receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And also, you know, that the fall of man brings curse, death, and eternal punishment in hell. But praise God for His grace, that the grace of God, it brings justification, it brings sanctification, and also glorification. When we say salvation from the penalty of sin, that is what we call justification. When someone put their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and received Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, they had been justified by their sin and they had been forgiven because of the grace of God upon our life. And also we have salvation from the power of sin, because even though we are saved, and yet sometimes we still committed sin. And praise God, you know, because our salvation are secure. We have eternal security of the believers. Amen. And God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's always good to have a realization, and it's always good to have confession. Before we go to bed, we need to realize, or we call it to confess our sins, so that when we lay down to bed, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, praise God, because we have salvation from the presence of sin, that one day we will be out of this world and we will be in our beautiful home in heaven. Amen. And there will be no more suffering, pain, and there will be no more death, no more sickness, and no more sin. And that is the promise of God to every believer. But those who put their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, that heaven will be our final home. That's why, you know, in the Philippines, Pastor, you know, sin, it brought a lot of problems. Not only into our country, not only to our school, our government has been affected because of sin, and even our family, and even inside the church, if we will not be careful, it always affects also. And that is the result of sin. That's why in the Philippines, Pastor, we have a new theology. They said, if Adam and Eve are just Filipino, if they are native Filipino, Pastor, probably the whole race of human being will never fall into sin. Because if they are Filipino, they will never eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. They would probably eat the snake with rice and soy sauce. And probably you are free, you know. But we know the story, you know. Well, you know, Filipino, everything that moves, we try to eat to survive in the Philippines. Okay? So, yeah, for sure, there are a lot of Filipino that eat snake, to be honest with you. So, but we know the story, they fell into sin. But I'm not saying that Filipino are sinless people, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But we know the story, we fell into sin, and since then we have a lot of problem. But praise God for His grace. And praise God for the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only solution for our sin. Amen? Now this evening, I'll give you 4 points, but if I'm running out of time, I'll give you only 3 points, okay? So first of all, let's talk about the gift of grace for salvation. It was in verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture." You know, salvation is God's greatest plan and man's greatest hope. Salvation is not invented by human being. It is plan of God before the salvation of the world. And this is the message that God wants us to proclaim. This is the message that God wants us to preach and to share, especially to our loved ones, that if they are lost, Remember that they will be going to hell, and we need to pray with our loved ones. You know, never stop praying for our loved ones, that one day God will enlighten their eyes. God will help them to be humble and realize that they are sinner and need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. You know, Jesus is the only way and the only source of salvation. Salvation is not by religion, it's not by sacrament, not of good works or baptism or church membership. Salvation is always by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible say, without shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sin. And we have a hymn song and we sing it, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? And when your life has been messed up, what can make me whole again? Still, the blood or the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is always by the finished work of Christ on Mount Calvary. That is death, burial, and resurrection. It is all sufficient enough for all to be saved. But it is only become efficient for those people who put their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Lord and personal Savior. By God's grace, everybody have given a chance to be saved because of the grace of God. And salvation is always by grace through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. That the grace of God that sought us and the faith in God that saved us and in God alone and in Christ alone. Amen? You know, I grew up into a Roman Catholic family. And we have been taught that salvation is by religion and by good works. And when we came here, Pastor told me that this church is a Roman Catholic church before. It's so amazing that the Catholic church turned into a Baptist church. Amen? That's a good testimony. Amen? So, I grew up into a Roman Catholic in the Philippines. And we had been blinded by truth because we have been taught by false doctrine. But praise God for a Bible school student. And he shared to me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tried to argue with him, but boy, he had the courage to share to me the plan of salvation. I tried to argue with him, but when he opened his Bible, I tried to listen to him. And when he read Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10, finally God got my attention. And then finally I realized my lost condition. That is not about my good works, not about how good I am. It is about the finished work of Christ on Mount Calvary. And that day, praise God, I did my best and valuable decision in my life. And praise God, I got saved at the age of 16. Amen? So there is a gift of grace for salvation. There is a saving grace for sinner. And secondly, there is a serving grace for the Christian. Not only the gift of grace for salvation, secondly, the goodness of grace for service. It was in verse 9 and 10, the verse that we read, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meant to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now here is the testimony of a persecutor, Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, but by the grace of God, became the preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, the destroyer of faith, the destroyer of the believers, by the grace of God, became the defenders of faith. Saul of Tarsus, a murderer, but because of the grace of God, he became the greatest missionary that lived on this earth, because of the grace of God. You see, there is a saving grace for sinner, but there is a serving grace for the believers, so that we will be faithful and fruitful into the ministry. And in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than the all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now in verse 10, Apostle Paul is not about bragging himself. He is grateful and thankful for the grace of God. In fact, he say that he never used the grace of God in vain. Because of the grace of God, Apostle Paul, he understood that everything that he accomplished into the ministry and in God's mission It is all about the grace of God that work upon his life. Amen? Even us, all of our gifts or all of our talents, you know, all our accomplishment, we owe it to our God. And the gifts and the talents that we have, it is only because of the grace of God. That's why we need to use our gift or our talents, you know, to glorify God. Let us use our talent for unity, amen? Not for the division of the church, serenity, so that we learn how to love one another, productivity, you know, so that people will be blessed, and more than that, for the victory of the local church, so that we will glorify God into our life if we use our talent together to worship God, to glorify God. That is very good. Like Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, he led 100 or 1,000 of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he encouraged some young men into the ministry like Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Tychicus, and Onesimus. And by the way, Apostle Paul is the one who led Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke got saved because of the ministry of Apostle Paul. And this very interesting story, because when Apostle Paul got saved, nobody believes on him. Even the 12 apostles doesn't believe that he is saved. In fact, they thought that Apostle Paul was just an spy to destroy the church. But thank God for the life of Barnabas, who believed on Apostle Paul that he is truly saved. And Barnabas encouraged Apostle Paul into the ministry. And because of the grace of God, Apostle Paul was used mightily by God. You see? And also, by the grace of God, Apostle Paul built many churches in Asia Minor. Like in Galatia, in Philippi, in Thessalonica, even in Corinth. And during his first, second, and third missionary journey, he visited 14 churches. And he encouraged these churches to keep on and keeping on into the ministry. But more than that, by the grace of God, I like this. By the grace of God, Apostle Paul wrote 1/3 of the New Testament was written by Apostle Paul because of the grace of God. He wrote the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and some of the Bible scholars say that he wrote also the book of Hebrews. Well, if you don't agree with me that Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews, maybe Pastor Steve Letley is the author of the book of Hebrews, okay? So you see that by the grace of God, we can be fruitful and faithful into the ministry. By the grace of God, we can be faithful to serve the Lord even in our local church. Amen? We can be faithful. But you know, today faithfulness are no longer popular word in our generation. But God is still looking for a man and women to be faithful to Him. Because God is faithful. As I told you before, God is faithful in the past, God is faithful at the present, and God is faithful even to the potential future. He will remain even the last person that will be born in this world. God will show His faithfulness to that person. And He will show to us that He is true and that He is faithful. Then thirdly, let's talk about the guarantee of grace for suffering. So I don't know, maybe some of you are in the middle of trials, or maybe you are suffering right now, or maybe you have pain in your life that you don't understand. Why did God allow that these things happen to us or happen to you? Well, listen to this message. Maybe this message is for you. The guarantee of grace for suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I like this verse. This is the testimony of Apostle Paul also. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, 7. The Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For these things I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, verse 9, notice this verse. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So there is a gift of grace for salvation, there is a goodness of grace for service, and there is a guarantee of grace for suffering. You know, God did not promise an easy road into the ministry and in the mission field. But praise God, God guarantee His grace, and His grace is always sufficient to every one of us. Amen? You know, Apostle Paul is not exempted in suffering. Even though Apostle Paul is faithful and fruitful into the ministry, he is a living testimony of a Christian who experienced pain and problems, experienced sorrow and suffering, trials and tragedy and life. And he had a thorn in the flesh. Well, maybe you're asking what kind of thorn of the flesh that he encountered in life. Well, some people say it might be an eye disease, it may be a malaria, or it may be an epilepsy. But for sure, it is a fatal disease. And Apostle Paul prayed to the Lord 3 times to remove the thorn in the flesh upon his life. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Yes, God has the power to remove the thorn of the flesh for Apostle Paul. God has the power to heal us when we are sick, when we have problems. God has the power, you know, to remove the problem that we have. But sometimes God allows us into the process, to undergo that process, to undergo the trials, because sometimes or many times, many of our blessings come to us through the transformation of trials instead of substitution of our suffering. You know, my wife, she is a survivor of ruptured brain aneurysm, Pastor, as I told you here in the video presentation. She almost died. That was June 20, 2021, when I rushed her to the hospital because of the ruptured brain aneurysm. And before the operation, the doctor told me that there are 35% that she might lose her memory. 35% she might lose her vision. And only 30% that we can claim that he will be healed by the grace of God. That is the very top moment in our life. That's why I told MJ and EJ, "Hey, it's about time to be a man, not to be a boy. You need to grow up. You stay in the home," because during the time my wife is in the ICU for 2 weeks, another 2 weeks in the recovery room, and 6 months in the rehab. And you know, even though I'm a pastor, as a human being, I ask the Lord, "Lord, why? Why my wife? Why my family? We just want to reach the people here. We just want to build churches. But why these things happen to us?" Well, God still spoke in a small voice through His word. Amen? And as I read this verse, like Apostle Paul said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then finally, I researched the word sufficient. What is sufficient? Then finally, I found out that the word sufficient, it means enough. I am God, and I am enough. If you trust me, I am enough. And truly, you know, God proved Himself that God is greater than the problem that we encounter in life. During that operation, you know, we saw God and not the giants that we encounter in life. And God gave me peace that by the grace of God, through this process, we will overcome it. And now, my wife is still with me. And the good thing, she still remember me. She still remember our children. And she's still with us. And praise God. She is a miracle lady. And praise God. You know, the grace of God will give us calm when the doctors say you have a cancer or you have a fatal disease. God's grace will give us confidence when you are rejected or resented by this world. And God's grace will give us a courage when we are persecuted. By the way, when I surrender my life into the full-time ministry, Pastor, my number one persecutor is my family. So I got saved when I was 16 years old. And then my first ministry is to clean the bathroom in the Philippines. And you know, cleaning the bathroom in the Philippines is very horrible. You know why? Because there's no plus. But right now it's becoming progressive. But normally, Pastor, there's no plus on the toilet. So you need to have a bucket. That's why it's horrible. But that is my first ministry. And then finally, as I continue to serve the Lord, my pastor invited me to go to the summer camp. He knows that I'm good in basketball. I'm a three-point shooter, okay? So he paid for my transportation. So we went to the summer camp and played basketball. But I never realized that every night there is a preaching. So the last night of that summer camp, I found myself. I was there on the altar. I was crying and surrendering my life into the ministry. And then finally, I was so happy. And then finally, I gave a report to my parents. They are not saved during the time. And my father was so upset when I told him that God called me to the ministry. And my father told me, if you go to the Bible college, we will not help you. And forget us as your family if you go there. But finally, to make the long story short, I went to the Bible college. I love my parents. God knows how much I love them. And I've been praying for them that one day they will be saved so that they will understand why God called me into the ministry. So they persecuted me for almost 2 years, but I keep praying for them that one day they will be saved. And then after 2 years of prayers, my father got saved. My mother got saved. And my youngest brother now is now also a pastor in the Philippines. And now my two sons are in the Bible college training to become a preacher as well and build churches in the Philippines. Before, I want to become a civil engineer. That's why my father told me, why not you go to finish your Bible, to finish your college? And after you finish, find a good job, make a lot of money, and when you have a lot of money, just help your pastor to build a church. Well, God has a better plan for me. God wants me to build lives, not the houses. And God wants me to build churches. And by the grace of God also, you know, last year, we built already the church, Pastor, by God's grace. It has 300 seating capacity for Filipino, okay? Not for American. So, for American, maybe 200 only, okay? Well, maybe, I don't know if this is a compliment or not, you know. Filipino are short and skinny, okay? American, you are blessed by God, okay? And we Filipino, we love, you know, to bumble each other. We love to stuck in one place, you know, even though we are touching each other, something like that. We love that kind of atmosphere. But I know American, you love space. So praise God, you know. And, you know that oyster? Oyster, they said, that never been wounded. Oyster that have never been suffered, it will never produce a pearl. Pearl is a product of suffering and pain. And maybe you have pain right now, you are suffering, you have trials in your life that you don't understand. Well, let me tell you this. Let me encourage you. God will never allow the pain and suffering in your life without His purpose. So trust God, because His grace is sufficient to you. Do I still have time, Pastor? Okay. Then finally, let's talk about the greatness of grace in sacrificial giving. It was in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I like this verse, okay? The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Now, this is the grace of giving, okay? The greatness of grace in sacrificial giving. You know, the grace of giving is the powerful testimony of God's word to the Macedonian Christian or to the Macedonian churches. Why? Because they gave sacrificially out of deep poverty and out of great trial of affliction. The motivation of their giving is love, and the measure of their giving is the grace of God. And you know, the grace of God will open the heart and will open their hand so that they could be a blessing in spite that they are also persecuted during their time. But because they saw the need and they want to become a blessing, and the divine principle of their giving is to give first ourselves to the Lord, like Macedonian Christian. It is not hard to give when you give first yourself to the Lord. They said sometimes you cannot give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Amen? So like this Macedonian Christian, they had been persecuted. And then finally, when Apostle Paul reported to them that the Jerusalem church and some churches in Samaria had been struggling and persecuted, you know, even the Macedonian churches experienced persecution as well. They want to become a blessing to them. You see, the devil can use our money for vices, for vanity, or for vain glory. But praise God, God can use our money to build lives, to build churches, and to build families, and to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a testimony. You know, in the Philippines, we don't have a divorce. We have a member that they had been separated for 17 years. So the wife committed adultery, and they had been separated. And then finally, when the man got saved, the bitterness, the hurt that he had been through, and finally, she started forgiving his wife. And right now, by the grace of God, you know, through the counseling and through the preaching of God's word, they are now joining together once again by the grace of God. And now they have one son that is now also a pastor in the Philippines. It's all because of the grace of God.